Welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcasts. Today, we have a summary of Jay Shetty podcast. In this episode, South African-born model Nara Smith discusses her rise to fame through viral cooking videos and the complexities of her public persona as a traditional wife. She shares insights into her journey of self-discovery and the blend of cooking and fashion in her content. Remember to follow us on X and Instagram and on our website, podsummarizer.xyz. And now, let's begin.
South African-born model Nara Smith rose to fame after her cooking videos went viral.
And her fans have been fascinated with everything from her family life to her style.
People love projecting things onto me, and because I cook for my husband, I'm in the kitchen and trapped, and I'm just at home and he's the breadwinner. They use me as this poster child of this like very traditional wife.
I feel like 18 is very young to get married. Did you always want to get married young?
I never thought about marriage. I never thought about long term. But then when I met Lucky, it kind of just clicked.
What gave you that inner confidence to be able to say, I know what I want, I know who I am?
The number one health and wellness podcast.
Jay Shetty.
Jay Shetty.
The one, the only Jay Shetty.
For someone who doesn't know your content or may have come across it but doesn't really know you, how would you explain or describe what you actually do online?
I always find it so interesting when I get asked that question, because to me it just feels so natural what I do. And I guess it's just me being in the kitchen, sharing my love for cooking, but also wearing outfits that you probably typically wouldn't wear in the kitchen, just because I'm a fashion girl at heart. And when I moved to America, I didn't really leave the house a lot because we had kids, and then I couldn't work and all of these things. So I was like, well, if I can cook at home in a cool outfit, why not? It's sitting in my closet anyways. So I think that kind of sparked the fashion aspect of my content. And then cooking is just something I feel like I slipped into. And then also learning a lot about myself, my health journey, that also inspired the from scratch cooking. I feel like that's how I build my audience, and people loved seeing it and tuning in.
It is natural for sure.
Yeah.
But it's so clever and smart and wonderful at the same time.
Yeah.
Like you said, no one's used to seeing someone cook a meal from scratch in like a brand new Prada, you know, dress or whatever it may be. And you're like dressed in all white while you're like...
That is risky. The fact that I actually have never spilled anything on myself baffles me.
Never.
No.
Not even as an outtake.
No. Not while cooking, but then I sit down and eat and all of a sudden I've got stuff on me. It's really, I don't know how it happens, but fingers crossed that I'm not jinxing it right now.
You'd be really disappointed watching me cook.
You know what? I think I'd have a laugh, because watching Lucky cook in the kitchen is
interesting. Is he terrible?
Oh yeah.
That makes me feel so much better.
No, he's terrible. The only thing he does know how to make really well is a steak. So usually when it comes to like steak, I'm like, you do it. Cause sometimes I get iffy with it. So he'll do that. I'll do all the rest. And he's a good baker.
Right.
I feel like baking is something that you could get into, actually, if you're not already into it.
No, don't. I'm so bad. Like,
you just have to level your spoons and you're fine.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure I can do any of that. I'm like a full on mess. There's a video of me. Radhi always like gets me in the kitchen somehow for videos. And there's a video of me peeling an avocado, which is really the most embarrassing thing.
Wait, what do you mean? How do you peel it?
Well, just watch the video. Really embarrassing. It's really bad, because I had no
idea. I can't imagine that.
And Radhi totally set me up. But it's terrible. The reason why I wanted to have you on the show is I also feel that as creators, you get known for a very specific thing. And of course, that's your brand. It's who you are. It's your business. But then there's a human behind that, and there's a human story behind that. And I think that's what I've always loved about my show, is the ability to get to know the human behind the brand, behind what's working online, behind the creator. And so I know you grew up in Germany.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, like, what's a childhood experience that you had that you feel really defines who you are today, or an experience that stayed with you?
I think growing up with my German grandma, she passed years ago, but I think she shaped so much of what I love and what I do. So she's kind of the reason that I got into cooking, and I've had an interest in that. She was the one that got me into playing the piano that I played for 10 years. She's the one that taught me how to read, and now I can't put down a book, and I have never been able to. Like, my room was full of books as a child. And I think she's a person that really shaped me and my views on the world. And I think that's something that will always be missed with her not being here anymore. And I wish she could see me now. And I hope she would be proud. But I think she is.
How old were you when you lost her?
I'm not too sure. I was young. I remember the day she passed. I was actually at home because I wasn't feeling well. And I'm really surprised my parents let me stay home. But I think they saw that I actually wasn't feeling well. And then I remember getting a call on our house telephone at the time. And I don't know, my heart dropped, which is weird because we got calls all the time, but I just knew my grandma passed in that moment. And I don't know how. So I answered the call and it was the old age home that she was in. And they were like, is your dad home? And in that moment, I just knew because I kind of put two and two together. And that was a really sad day. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I was definitely in elementary or starting high school. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And was it something she did or was it how she lived?
I think how she lived. Like, she wasn't afraid to do things. She was very independent. She was just so strong. She was such a strong woman. And I think that's what was really inspiring to me.
Yeah, I think it's so beautiful. I feel like there are so many people around us who've impacted our lives,
yeah,
but they never said a thing.
No.
Like, they didn't tell you how to live.
No.
They didn't give you advice. It's not that they shared some wisdom with you, but you just felt their presence and their energy and how they carried themselves, especially yeah, grandparents. I think Radhi has that same connection with her grandmother,
yeah,
who's still alive, but she just feels her infectious energy when she's around her.
And that's something I hope that I will have with my children and my grandkids one day, to where I don't have to say a lot. I can just be me and live authentically like myself, and they'll take away whatever they need to live their lives in the fullest way.
Yeah, there's you're reminding me of this beautiful quote from St. Francis, who I love. And he wrote that, you know, wherever you go, you should preach. Mm. So wherever you travel, you should preach. And if necessary, open your mouth. Mm. And it's that idea of like, we actually preach by not preaching. We preach through our character, our energy, how people feel when they're around us. And that says so much more than the words that come out of our mouth.
It does.
Yeah. But where did the modeling begin? Because I believe you became a model at 14. How did you talk to me about that transition of...
Yeah. So that, I actually started Instagram right when it came out. So
no
right
way.
When it came out, I was 14. Well, 13. I lied about my age.
because you had to be 14.
I think you had to be 14. I just added like a year on.
Is that a Germany thing?
I don't know what it was. Maybe, I mean, Instagram literally just came out. That's right. The generation I'm in. So I never had Facebook, never had anything that came pre-Instagram. Instagram was kind of my first app that I was on. And I just posted my stuff and I wanted to become a model.
Having explored the profound impact of character over words, the narrative shifts to a personal journey, diving into the unexpected connections that blossom through a simple DM and a memorable phone call.
That then that would mean my life was not on track.
Yeah.
So that was my version of yours. And I was very lucky that I started breaking it quite early as well. You said it was meeting Lucky that started to break that down for you.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet? How did you connect?
Yeah, he sent me a DM. We DM'd for a little bit and then we exchanged phone numbers and he was the crappiest texter. Like, he was so bad at texting to the point where I just wanted to be done. I'm like, I don't even care about talking to this guy anymore. And then one day he said, I'm going on a camping trip. I won't have service, but when I'm back, I would love to just hop on a phone call. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. Because I would prefer a phone call anyways. I'm not a great texter, but I kind of thought that he was just saying that. But then he got back from his camping trip and he actually called me and we were on the phone for 7 hours straight on that phone call. And I don't know what happened after that phone call, but it just felt like I couldn't be without him anymore. So from that day on, we were on the phone every single day. And when we weren't talking, we were just sleeping on the phone. Like, the phone would be next to me and I'd just be sleeping because we also had a time difference where I lived in Germany and he lived in LA. So it was a little bit of a struggle, but we still made it work every single day. And then 2 weeks after that initial phone call, I told him I'd be in Milan because I was walking a fashion show and he was like, me too, what fashion show? And it ended up being the same one that was walking that he was attending. So that was the first time we met in person. And then that same day, he asked me to be his girlfriend. He met my parents for the first time, asked my dad to marry me when he met him the first time. Then I flew to LA, met his parents. 2 days later, we were engaged. And then 2 months after that, I believe we were married. So
wow.
It was so crazy, so quick, but so great. And wow, now here we are 5 years later.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a true like rocket shit. Like,
no, it truly was. And a lot of people were really questioning whether we were sane in doing it this quick, but I wouldn't have changed it for the world. It's been great. It doesn't matter how much I voice those things and try to make people understand that I am actually a full-time working mom, that they just don't want to get it. They use me as this poster child of this like very traditional wife, and I'm not. We split chores 50-50. There's things that Lucky does that I guess traditional men wouldn't do, like do the dishes or get the kids dressed or do their hair or whatever it may be that people don't associate with a traditional man. And there's things that I do, like having a full-time career and having Lucky be home watching the children while I travel for 2 weeks, which is, I guess, not traditional in their mind. It's odd, and I'm not confined to the kitchen. I cook and do things because I love to do it, not because I have to. If I'm tired, I will go eat out. If I don't want to do that, I will go into the kitchen and make myself a meal. And I think I just love it so much to where it never feels like a chore to me.
I remember when me and Radhi first met, she was at college.
Yeah.
She was doing her second degree. And I just left the monastery like 6 months before. And so I saw her every day until I got a job. And so I would go to her college.
Wait, I love.
I'd go to her college. I would sit in the like library and apply for jobs online and fill out my resume and all that kind of stuff. She'd go to her lectures. Then she'd come back. We'd hang out in between, have lunch together. And I did that every single day. And it was so beautiful because we've really got to know each other.
Yeah.
Because we spent so much normal time together.
Normal time, yeah.
Like even when we started hanging out, we barely went out on a date. Like that was how we dated. And it's like you get such a real perspective of who that person is.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, I see you once a week.
Mm-hmm.
We dress up for this date.
Right.
You know, maybe I spend like an hour and a half, 2 hours with you. But when you're talking to someone for 7 hours a day, when we're spending like 7 hours a day together,
yeah,
you get a different sense of who that person is. And you can only do that when you're young.
Yeah.
Like if I was dating now at this age in my life, I couldn't even spend that much time with someone.
No.
Because there's so much going on.
Yeah. Also today, like dating nowadays, I feel like is so different because a lot of my friends are dating and they're like, I met this person on Hinge or Tinder and I never had any of those apps because I never really thought about it because it also happened so quick. I was 18 at the time. I got married at 18. So in my mind, I was not really at that point that they're at now. And I always think it's so interesting to see people dating nowadays. It feels almost intimidating. And I'm very lucky I'm not in that position.
It's hard.
I couldn't imagine.
It's hard. What advice do you have for your friends? What do they ask you for advice and thoughts?
They actually don't because the thing is with Lucky and I, it went so quick. And I told him, I remember when he asked me to be his girlfriend, I told him, I'm going to take this very serious. So are you sure you want to ask me this? Because to me, I never wanted to date just to date. And I think now with all of my friends, they love dating. They love the process of it. For me personally, I always hated it because I felt like I had to open up to all these people and get to know these people just for it to not work out. And it felt like a waste of time for me. So with Lucky, I told him when it became serious, like, I take this very serious. It's either going to end in marriage or we're just going to be done now because I'm not going to invest my time in you if that's not the ultimate goal. And he was like, yeah, we're aligned. And we truly were. So I
How were you so confident and sure of that at 18? Like, I feel like 18 is very young to get married in terms of if you look at trends.
Yeah.
Like, did you always want to get married young? Was that always part of the...
No. I never thought about marriage. I never thought about long term. And I think it just was because I wasn't in love with him and it wasn't the right person that I felt like I could spend the rest of my life with. But then when I met Lucky, it kind of just clicked. And I just thought we're either going to do this or we're not. And I think, I don't know, I feel like I've always been a little bit more mature for my age than a person at my age would be. And I've always wanted different things in life than other people. I always wanted to start a family. I wanted to have a slower life. I wanted to get married younger. I wanted to work and build something for my kids. And my priorities were never in like partying or going out or dating around or going on a lot of fun vacations. My priorities were a little different. So I think maybe subconsciously aligned my values and what I wanted with how I shaped my life.
that's such a conscious way to live.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an intentional way to live.
Yeah.
Like, for you to even be able to communicate to him at 18 and say, hey, dude, if you don't want to be serious about this, I'm not in. Like, and also for him to receive it too.
Yeah.
It takes a lot from him.
Having navigated the complexities of personal choices and maturity, the conversation shifts to societal perceptions of traditional life paths as they delve into the beauty of celebrating diverse journeys.
And then they were like, well, you had kids at 19 and you got married at 18. And I was like, and they were like, that's traditional. And I'm like, oh, I guess that's traditional then. It never even crossed my mind because I've always been such a believer in having people make their own choices and never judging someone else based on how they choose to live their life and much rather celebrating them. How cool is it seeing someone else be 35 and crushing life and traveling the world by themselves, not having a care in the world? I love seeing that. Whereas I also love seeing moms that are 18 and have a child and are doing life. And I love seeing that. So I think I've always just loved celebrating people at where they're at, that it was such a foreign concept to me that people would have a negative opinion on me choosing to start my life in that way early on.
Totally. And that's why you're at that interesting intersection, as I was saying, because that's what I was about to say. Like, you're a career person. You have a booming career. You're a model. You're doing incredible stuff online, and you're a mom, and you love cooking for them. And it's really funny because me and Radhi, in one sense, we got married early, and now we're having kids late. And so it's like, you know, you could, whenever you look at things in any order, it's like, well, wait a minute. No, to me, we're on time.
Yeah.
To me, you're on time.
No, I love that.
Right? Because it's like, you're on time because that's the time that made sense for you. And I wanted to ask you about that, like, in the sense of, and I love your answer to how you see the time and the early and late. But I think there's right now, there's such a big conversation around gender roles and around expectations.
Yeah.
And by the way, me and Radhi get the same thing that you guys get. So people always say to me, you're so lucky you got a traditional wife, and you're so lucky that you got a wife who loves, and I'm like, Radhi loves cooking.
Right.
Like, she doesn't cook because it's a woman's role based on tradition. Mm-hmm. She cooks because she loves cooking. And I don't cook because I'm terrible at it. And if I loved cooking, I would cook.
Yes.
And by the way, Radhi works. She's got an incredible cookbook. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She's like creating all this amazing content. Like, Radhi's got an amazing business of her own. It's not even divided that way, but it's interesting how these perceptions have settled into society. You challenge them because of what you just said. How do you encourage people to like think about that? Like, how to get out of that kind of expectation and role and kind of find your own values in time?
I feel like that's something I sometimes struggle with my online presence. It's people love projecting things onto me and kind of how I live my life just because I cook for my husband, because it's my love language and I love cooking. They project onto it that I'm in the kitchen and trapped and I'm just at home and he's the breadwinner and all of these things. And I'm like, no, I work. I'm very busy. I travel almost every week. I have kids that I raise. I love being in the kitchen because it's a passion of mine, not because I have to. And sometimes I feel like this is where social media gets tricky for me personally, is it doesn't matter how much I voice those things and try to make people understand that I am actually a full-time working mom, that they just don't want to get it. They use me as this poster child of this like very traditional wife. And I'm not. There's nothing truly traditional about us as a couple, apart from maybe that we chose to have kids young and get married young. But apart from that, we split chores 50-50. There's things that Lucky does that I guess traditional men wouldn't do, like do the dishes or get the kids dressed or do their hair or whatever it may be that people don't associate with a traditional man. And there's things that I do, like having a full-time career and having Lucky be home watching the children while I travel for 2 weeks, which is, I guess, not traditional in their mind. It's odd. And I feel like people see that side of my life and I voice that side of my life, but they still don't want to accept it. So I've just kind of learned to going to do me, and whoever resonates with that, great. If they don't, then there's nothing really I can do to change their minds.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really hard thing to grapple with.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, yeah, I remember when me and Radhi first used to create content together, a lot of people would, in the comments, like we'd literally be talking about an issue we had mm-hmm. or an argument we had and talking about how we try to figure it out. And there were some interviews we did where I didn't even know Riley was dealing with something and she'd break down in the interview. Mm. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, like what's going yeah. on? And we'd talk about it. And we'd still get comments where people would be like, oh, they just always project themselves as perfect and happy. And I'm like, trust me, that is the last thing I've wanted to do. Like the last thing I've ever wanted to do is present myself as perfect, my marriage is perfect, or anything as, because really what I'm trying to share is, hey, this is what I got wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I wrote a book about love and none of it is based on what I got right. It's all based on what I got wrong
yeah.
and what I learned through meeting people. But it's interesting how not everyone hears that, because the noise in our mind of what someone is or what they look like kind of overshadows that, if that makes sense.
I don't think they want to hear it. And I think that's what I've learned with being on social media and being so controversial, I guess, is people don't want to hear it. They don't want to change their opinion. They don't want to see you differently. It's like once they've made up their mind about you or have read something, it's also easy on social media. You read a comment or a headline and you believe it. Like there's so many things in the news or whatever it may be that you read the headline and you believe it, and then you actually like Google and do your research and it couldn't be further from the truth. Also, nowadays society, they love drama. They love negativity. They feed off of fights and opinions and online situations that cause conflict. And I think that's what people love projecting onto me. They love that I'm so controversial and they can kind of say whatever. And in the beginning, it really used to bother me. I'd used to cry at home and tell Lucky, like, I don't understand why they're saying all these things. None of this is true. And then I would make a post that's like very subtle, I guess. And I would say in the voiceover, like, I'm not X, Y, and Z. I'm actually a working mom. I actually don't believe in these things. And then all the comments would be like, she's lying. She's gaslighting us. And I'm like, I literally cannot win. And I think that's what I've learned. Like, people don't want to hear the truth. They don't care for the truth. They care about what they want to hear and what serves them. So the less I say, kind of the better.
Yeah,
because it preserves my energy. There's no point in me saying something that someone doesn't even want to hear.
Yeah. And it's not the majority. It's the minority. It's like,
but that's what your brain picks up. It 100%. Could be, you could get 50 comments of people that love you. And then that one comment that's just so mean and nasty.
Having navigated the complexities of public perception and personal truth, the conversation shifts towards the joy of self-expression and creativity. As we delve into the delightful interplay of humor and authenticity in content creation.
And if you can try and make them more fun, more enjoyable, whatever it is for you that works.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, yeah, I see all these good comments.
That
it always makes
so
my day
happy
when I find you on my For You page.
Thanks, Jay.
And it's just fun. And it's fun to watch interesting, curious, talented people who, you know, to me, you're a comedian in disguise.
Really? I love that.
Yeah, you're a comedian in disguise to me. Like, it's like, that's what comedians do, is they create great characters
yeah.
that people can laugh to and yeah. connect with and resonate with and poke at.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done. And then when I met you in person, I was like, oh my God, like you're like one of the sweetest, nicest people I've met in person. And then you're like this complete badass on like, yeah. you know, on social media. And I love that juxtaposition of just, you know, you being who you are and then playing this role.
I feel like my content is, it's like, to me, I view it as myself, but enhanced.
Yes.
Like the funny version of myself in some videos, the more like polished version of myself in some videos, the more, I don't know, creative version. It's like me, but depending on the outfit I put on and what I cook, I become an enhanced version of myself. And that's so fun to me, which is also why I love fashion and cooking, because you can dress up and feel a completely different way. Like you feel, at least I feel different ways depending on what I have on. And that's kind of the energy that I tap into. And that's kind of the part of my reality person that gets enhanced for that video.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that. That's how you think about it.
Yeah.
Because, and by the way, that becomes really real in normal life too. I remember when I was saying earlier, like when I would go and see Radhi in the library or work, I remember I used to get dressed as if I was doing something important.
Yes.
And that helped me. And that was at a time when I made no content. I didn't have any videos. I was doing it for myself. Yes. No one even cared who I was. But dressing as if I was important helped me.
Yes.
Feel like I could apply for jobs, that I could show up as my best, that if I bumped into someone that, because I was in a really tough place. I was rejected from 40 companies after leaving the monastery. No one would give me a job. I was living in my parents' loft. I was getting rejected left, right, and center. I didn't even know if I'd ever go get a job
again.
Was
that hard for you?
It was super hard because I'd become a monk because I loved it. I'd left because I didn't think it was right for me anymore. And now the jobs that I would have landed with ease 3 years before, because I had a first class degree, I couldn't get them. And that was really hard for me because I just, you know, I never imagined that I would not be able to get a job and pay my bills and living with my parents again. So it wasn't easy, but I remember dressing up for me felt like I can do something important today. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they don't want to do that. You'd rather be in your sweats, whatever. That's awesome. But all of these little things really work with our mind, mm-hmm. like psychologically. And I think we underplay how much sight and scent and sound can change how you feel.
Yeah, I don't own sweatpants, actually. Like Lucky does. Sometimes I'll like—
You own zero
sweatpants? I own zero sweatpants. I used to own them, but then I got rid of them all.
You're my inspiration.
So to me, I don't wear sweatpants apart from maybe when I steal one of Lucky's, but that's like very rare. I think a lot of how I perform during the day is how I dress. So if I want to get stuff done, I will dress a certain way. There's like never a day where I wake up and don't do my skincare. There's never a day I don't wake up and do my hair at least. If I actually want to feel like my peak level of production, I do my makeup. Not because I feel like I need to feel prettier, but more so it makes me feel productive. I put on what I want to wear to feel a certain way. If I'm like, oh, I'm going on a little lunch with my friend and I want to feel like super girly and whatever, I will wear a cute dress. But if I'm like, okay, I actually need to just power through meetings all day long, I will wear a suit because that makes me feel like I'm just going to get stuff done. So to me, it's all about dressing and doing things to make myself feel a certain way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll never fly in sweats. I don't do that. There's like things I do to make myself feel a certain way. And I know it doesn't work for everyone, but growing up also, my dad had a weird thing with sweatpants. He was like, you're not. There's this thing about, I think Karl Lagerfeld said something about sweatpants. I don't remember exactly what it is, but my dad basically said,
if you find it.
Yeah, you need to find it, because he had a quote about sweatpants. What did he say?
So he said, Karl Lagerfeld said, sweatpants are a sign of defeat.
Yes.
You lost control of your life, so you bought some sweatpants.
Yes. That's what my dad would tell me growing up. He said,
no way.
Karl said that. And that's why we're not doing sweatpants. That's crazy. If I ever was in my pajamas, like after 9 a.m., he thought I was losing it. So when I was 16, I bought my first sweatpants. And then I really liked them, whatever, because like I feel like in Europe, like they love their little tracksuits with like the Nikes. But then the older I got, I'm like, actually, my dad's right for me personally. Like, I feel like I've lost control of my life if I wear sweats. I cannot. What I'll do is like get a matching pajama set if I really feel like I just need to veg out. I'll do a matching pajama set. But that's just what works for me. And I think that's also the thing with like fashion in my videos. Like I want to feel good. I want to feel confident. I want to dress up and feel like these different people. So that's where fashion plays like a massive part in how I go about my day.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. And it's so interesting how the way we're parented had such a like, yes. Like Riley has that with waking up early.
Really?
So like Riley was someone that even if she went out to a party at night, her mom would be like, if you're not up in the morning.
No, I'm telling you.
Like you're late.
Yes.
So like Riley wakes up so early every day because that's hardwired into who she is.
Yes.
And I think we all have different versions of that.
Yeah.
I was so excited after the pandemic to never wear sweatpants again. Because
really?
I'm the same. I don't like sweats. But during the pandemic, I fell into it and I was—
You can find comfy denim.
Oh my
like
God.
You don't have to do skinny denim. Like I feel like the more baggy ones are coming back anyway.
Yes,
so just wear that then.
For sure. Yeah. I think what I'm hearing from you, what I've learned from you is that you found a way to do life on your time in your way.
Yeah.
With your permission.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're all seeking. Like, I think that's what we're all looking for. What we all really want is to be able to get married when we want,
yes.
to not get married if we don't want, to have kids when we want, to not have kids when we don't want. And I think when we feel like we're living according to everyone else's expectations and society's rules, that's what takes us away from who we really are. And it seems like you've found a way to do things on your timeline and in the way you want,
yeah,
whether it's sweatpants or not. and there's beauty to that, because I think that's what we're all looking for.
I think it's also nowadays, I feel like everyone tries to fit in certain molds. Like,
that's it for today's summary. To stay up to date with more summaries and news, follow us on X and Instagram and visit our website, podsummarizer.xyz. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or complaints about the content displayed, please do not hesitate to write to us at info@podsummarizer.xyz. Thank you for listening.